Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
Inside.
It ain't the left side or the right side.
Hey, Dolphins fans, welcome back to another episode of On the Fin Side. Kat is not with us tonight, and I know we have been going live every night this week. We get the news today, the Will Fuller signing, the fact that they signed, well, not everybody's favorite desired center in Matt Skura. But at the same time, this Will Fuller news is huge for the Dolphins. It really upgrades this offseason thus far. But guys, before we dive too far into it, I want to give folks a chance to hop on here. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys subscribe. We are the official Dolphins podcast of the Fansided Network and Minute Media, hosted on Fin Fanatic. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all kinds of different places. But I wanted to hop on here and hang out with you guys now. And actually, I'll dive right in because we got some good questions already. Hey, Hunter, of course I'm going to pull up, man. It's, you know, we have been having a ton of fun, and I decided I'd do one for the late crowd tonight. With the number three pick, Fins fan, I'll answer that quick while we wait for some folks to get on here. Basically, it for me, it's Pitts. I agree, Andrew. It's Will Fuller on the outside does everything that I've been talking to you guys about over the past few weeks, few months, that we've been talking a little bit about Pitts, especially since I shifted off the Michael Parsons hill. And if you were to draft Kyle Pitts at number three overall, or even better, manage to trade back a few spots and still steal Pitts from somebody, you are setting defenses up to pick their poison. You have so many options for mismatches. I do like Sewell. I really do, Fins fan, but I would still go Pitts. I think Kat may or may not have a different answer there. I know he's bigger on Sewell than I am. I love Sewell, but I want to see how these offensive linemen that we have to develop as we go along here. Yeah, the 11 games is rough. The 11 games is rough, Hunter. And I don't think the Will Fuller deal precludes you from taking another wide receiver in the draft, but it's not as big of a need here. You know what? I think Mike's going to have more of a chance to eat, and I think that the Dolphins could still make a move to get something done with Gesicki. Hey Dolphins fans, support for On the Fin Side is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. We've got an exclusive offer for our listeners, which is 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Manscaped has created the best ball hair trimmer ever, the Lawnmower 3.0. Their third-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. In addition, this trimmer comes with an LED light for a more precise shave and is waterproof to make your shower clean and easy. I now feel confident shaving my boys. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling nice down there. Kat and I already have our Perfect Package 3.0 on the way. What are you waiting for? Your balls will thank you. Make sure you get 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code FANSIDED20. He did, Andrew, but you know what? I get it. It's the comment in chat is that Kat seemed pretty down last video. And you know what? Kat and I talked about it. He was disappointed, and we hadn't done anything to answer some of the questions and needs that he had for the Dolphins to get him over the hump. So it wasn't a flashy start to free agency, but the Will Fuller signing takes it up a notch, and it lets you draft a receiver and let him develop behind Will Fuller. And if Will Fuller works out, guess what? You may be able to convince him to come back if he gets that chemistry in place. In other rumors at the moment, the Dolphins have been linked to Chris Carson, but that's also been debunked. So we will see how that goes. I don't know if the Dolphins do go after Carson, however. I really do still think that Miami goes after a running back in the draft. And we're going to crowd the running back room a little bit too much if we were to go ahead and get Chris Carson, even though I wouldn't hate it. Chris Carson's a running back that can come in, make a difference for this team, and really, really, truly, upgrade the unit. But I still think Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne, and Najee Harris are guys that can come in and have an even bigger impact for this team than a Chris. Philip Lindsay, that's an interesting one. Yeah, Elu, I would trade down and select Kyle Pitts, but if we got stuck at that number three spot, Kyle Pitts would be my target here. But, yeah, that is another one, Robert, or John Smith. Robert Foster, just for those that missed it, Robert Foster's a guy that may be able to potentially take the top off of defense. He averages over 20 yards per catch in his career. He had that really good rookie year and then kind of fell off a cliff. But he could be somebody that if he can – he's already got a little bit of a relationship with Tua coming in, so we may be able to see him be effective. I would love to see Foster be an impact player for the Dolphins. He is fast. He's elusive. And the thing I loved when I watched Foster was – and I mentioned this on yesterday's show. He does a great – job of breaking off his route and making defenders look stupid. If you go back and watch some of his footage from his rookie year, the way he puts his foot in the ground and comes back, you see defenders stumble regularly trying to adjust to it. So I really think that would be a great thing if he can step up. And I really do think as well that the Dolphins are counting on Albert Wilson this year, as much as a lot of Dolphin fans aren't in on that. The worry that exists right now, and somebody did point this out, Will Fuller's averaged 11 games in his career. Outside of that, you've got Devontae Parker, who is injury prone. You've got Preston Williams, who can't seem to get past October. You've got Jakeem Grant, who has had a few of his own injuries throughout his career. And really, I mean, the injuries last year led to Isaiah Ford being the number two receiver in terms of snap count. That is not something you need to go after a wide receiver in the draft. Now, a lot of folks are in on, and I'm okay. But it's you need to take a look at guys like Jalen Darden as things go on. Nico Collins. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, or I can't pronounce it, a little bit of both. But I was watching Stanford's pro day today, and they have a wide receiver there who ran a 4.37 and just jumped off the page. I could not stop watching him at Stanford's pro day. And he may be a guy that's a late rounder or an undrafted even. There are so many receivers in this draft that could come in and help. It would really benefit the Dolphins to go out and get one of those guys. Matt Skura does a great job. You've probably heard a lot today about his pass block win rate. But the biggest worry with Skura is, yes, he was coming back from a knee injury last year, but he cost the Ravens a couple of games and really cost himself millions of dollars. He's in on a $1.75 million contract, and he leads me to believe, especially after there's no way Miami can get Andrews now. It sounds like he's back with New England, and we already know Ted Karras is back with New England. It really leads me to think that Miami's going to go after the center position in the draft. The center position is extremely deep, as I know you guys have heard us talking about. And really, the upside of Skura is actually a lot better than people are putting out there today. He is a guy that was in line before his injury to see a big payday. If you look out at SpotTrack, it's got him estimated at, you know, $10 million signing, and Miami was able to sign him for under two. And if he can pan out, great. If not, he is quality depth at the center position. If Miami is to go out and draft a Creed Humphrey, a Quinn Meinerz, a Josh Meyer, or one of the, you know, Landon Dickerson, who I'm not a fan of. I don't like centers with leg issues, as you all know. But again, it's very much a situation where center is the biggest hole right now, now that Will Fuller's in the fold. We did get a question in the chat that whether or not I see Micah Parsons sliding down to 18. It is very, very possible. For those of you that have listened all week, or for the last couple of weeks, I can't remember exactly when I brought this up, but I was talking to a friend that has connections inside of the Penn State building. And he had asked about Micah Parsons, and the direct answer he got from the buddy of his that works there is they had never seen a more immature player come through the program. And that's worrisome. Penn State has been plagued with some issues over the years. And to hear that about such a talented linebacker, it's disturbing. And I'm hopeful that given that the issues, if he is to slide down to 18, if Miami could steal Pitts and Micah Parsons in round one, that would be, well, that'd probably be the most insane round one I can remember in a very long time. And that's even after Miami had the three first rounders last year. But I don't think he slides that far. His talent is too high for somebody to not take a chance, depending upon how these allegations come out from a couple years ago that he's somewhat involved with. We don't really know the full involvement. DJ, that is the worry. He was doing – so I understand Skura has snap issues or had some snap issues last year. Something happened there. That was not something he had a history of prior to last season when he came back from the ACL, and I believe it was PCL issues from the year before. Hopefully it's something that he's able to sort out. If not, it's a low-risk, high-reward contract, the way that they phrased it out. But again, it's at that point in time, you'd end up having to go with a rookie and with Dieter as your centers, which could be worrisome unless you're able to go out and get a Meinerz, go out and get a Creed Humphrey. And if you take a look out at Creed Humphrey's pro day, he tested off the charts, which it feels weird to say that about a center, but he just, every measurable, he was destroying as far as centers go. So it's very, very possible that Creed Humphrey may slide up a little bit too high for my liking, especially since I do like Meinerz. If we take Waddle King, I think that would be awesome. I mean, it's. I'm a big fan of speed at the wide receiver position. I'm not one of those guys, and I know we've talked about this before, but I'll say it again here. And before I do, guys, make sure you're clicking like, make sure you guys are subscribing. We're doing this as kind of like a little one-off thing. Kat and I will be on the air sometime in the next 36 hours talking about all the different moves from the week. hopefully with a couple more to report. We'll see. The Dolphins are estimated to have about $12 million in cap space right now, but they do have the ability to create a lot more room, whether it's through restructures, a couple of key releases, you name it. I mean, it's something that we're definitely, you know, we're going to be here a lot in the next month and a half leading up to the draft, and we're going to be year round this year. So guys, make sure you stay with us on all of this. I don't know about Von Miller, Abab. He's one of those guys that, yes, he is a good pass rusher, but he's coming with a lot of baggage right now. Mark, his snaps were off base. I believe the first one that went crazy was when the Ravens were playing the Patriots last year and they trotted out a wildcat on fourth and one, and he just completely missed the running back. And they had to fall on it for, I believe it was an 8 or 9 yard loss, turned the ball over, led to a New England field goal, and that pretty well lost him the game. And it felt like he got the yips from there. And it was really over a 2 week span. I'm not going to judge any player over a 2 game span. It was a very rough 2 game span, but hopefully it's something that with Miami's coaching staff, they're able to get through to him. And that's one of the themes you see amongst some of the depth players. They're guys that have shown a propensity for a high upside that may have had a couple of struggles over the past season or two. Robert Foster, Matt Skura, they're guys that if they work out, they're going to be a steal. If not, we're not really investing a lot into them. We're making them invest in themselves. And that's one of the things that I really dig about the way that Greer's approaching this offseason. Franklin, I do like Philip Lindsay. We will see what happens there. And we did talk about Chris Carson, Chris, but I'll bring it up again. He is a guy that Miami has been linked to, but that report has kind of faltered either way. Melvin Ingram, that is an intriguing one. He's getting up there in years. Abab, we're trying, man. We're trying. It's Kat and I do still have our day jobs. And, you know, I actually, just to be conversational here, I'm actually coaching right now as well. And, you know, it's we do have the family life. Kat's got the new baby at home, and you know, we're getting on here. We're getting the thoughts organized. We're making sure we're not jumping on with rash reactions. Trust me, we would love to be able to hop on here every time every little thought came about, every possibility came about. But we want to get you guys some meat with things and not just have some knee jerks or jump on here with false news, because let's face it, every year with social media, the false news gets worse and worse and worse. We want to make sure we've got the contract terms, et cetera. And that's part of why I wanted to hop on tonight, even though it's a little bit late for you guys, a little bit late for me. And, you know, we weren't able to hop on with Kat tonight because he had a prior obligation. It's one of those things that happens. Let's see. God, I hope Hearns is not on the roster, but that's going to be a tough one. Let me pull up his cap hit real quick while we're talking about it, because that'll kind of put it in perspective. I believe for Hearns, the cap hit was kind of iffy at the moment. If he were to be released, I think it was, I don't think it really saved a lot of money. And I'm not a huge fan of Hearns, but it is what it is. Jason, we did talk a little bit about Owusu-Kimura last night on the show. He's a guy that Miami could be looking at if they're not, if Parsons doesn't slide. Another one that they could be looking at is Chaz Surratt. The interesting thing for me here is I want to see what they do with Baker. Yes, he is a middle linebacker right now, or an inside linebacker right now. There is no middle linebacker in the 3-4, but if Miami were to get somebody that was exclusively an inside guy, you could see Baker move around. Don't forget, this is a positionless defense in Miami a lot of the time. So it's more about being a football player than a title. So it could be very interesting to see how Miami shifts players around. They've shown the ability to do that in the past, moving guys like Bobby McCain and Eric Rowe to safety, and where they move guys. It's not Don. Glad to see you here, man. Oh, Jesus, Tommy, you're in Germany. I don't want to hear what time it is there. I know what time it is there. Well, welcome to the show, Tommy. But yeah, guys, in the comments down below, make sure you let us know what you would like to see Miami do in the draft, or if there's any other free agents that you guys are looking at. I think Miami is doing a very good job right now of sitting back and waiting for the right move to come to them. They're being aggressive. They're contacting a lot of folks, seeing if the prices match up. David Andrews was asking for astronomical numbers for his ability, and not something I wanted to invest in or eat up our cap space with. And there are still a number of teams that are over the cap right now that are going to have to make some very hard decisions. And it would not shock me if Miami was staring down the barrel at a few of these guys that they know are going to be released and waiting at this point. So Robert, it's, you know, that's right. If you designate Hearns as a post June 1st cut, there is a decent savings right now. But again, it only makes sense in the moment if there's a reason that you're making that move. There is no need to cut him until you need the cap space, and you can bring as many bodies as you'd like into camp, as long as you're under that 90-man roster limit. And you can basically see who survives at wide receiver. There's a lot of options there at the moment. Yeah, Mark, it's only if you designate him as one of your two post June 1st cuts, then I believe the cap number drops for him. I'd have to take a look, and I'll make sure I take a look at that before our next episode. Yeah, Chad, I'm a huge Quinn Meinerz fan. He was awesome in the Senior Bowl week. It was sad to see he wasn't able to play in the Senior Bowl itself. But again, it's at this point, the cool thing is given the signing of Fuller for the 2021 season, now it's mostly about wants. Given the fact that they signed Skura, you know, if Skura can't beat out Dieter, I don't have a huge problem with Dieter at center. He's just very unproven. And I believe that if I remember correctly, Flores actually worked Jesse Davis a little bit at center in camp last year, even though we didn't get to see it in the game. And that's something I'd be very curious to see as well. And I can't believe I'm saying that, because any of you that have been here for more than a season with us know I've never been a huge Jesse Davis fan. But he is a guy. He just keeps sticking and just keeps kicking. And the fact that he was a team captain for these guys last year, it wouldn't shock me to see them give him a go in that role. Ooh, DE favorites in the draft. So the defense, you're just trying to get me to say Boogie, Tommy. It's everybody that's listened to us knows I'm a huge fan of Boogie Basham. He's a guy that can set the edge, but also get after the passer. I think he could be a much better version of Shaq Lawson, as if Miami were to be able to get him. My only struggle with being able to get Boogie is he's moved a little too far up draft boards, and with what I think Miami's going to do here, I don't know if they do. Same with Gregory Rousseau. I saw a mock draft from Omar Kelly where, what was it? He grabbed Gregory Rousseau. He traded down to 8, grabbed Gregory Rousseau at 8, and it's just, there are a few later on, but I think I'd be more likely to grab a guy like Ramondre Stevenson, it's late, guys. It is late. I'm blanking on the name right now, but Ramondre Stevenson is a running back that I like that kind of fell off a cliff, even though he's a bigger back that can smash it in the hole. And I think they solved that need with Malcolm Brown. Hamilcar Rashed, he was a guy that up until this season was a terror coming off the edge, and really some reason struggled to get after the quarterback this year. I'm hopeful that he's a guy that if Miami were to take him in a late round because of the way he fell off, can come in and be that pass rusher Miami needs. Yes, Strobridge is another guy too. Don't discount Strobridge. His issues didn't seem to be on-the-field issues. They seemed to be – and again, the reports just never materialized for what was going on with why he couldn't see the field. When he got out there in early practices, he looked good. And he's a guy that you can kick inside, kick outside. And, you know, I'm not sure what happened with him. He was a guy I really liked going to the draft as kind of a late round steal. Well, Robert, I'm trying to take a peek here at your draft strategy. Let me take a look. Okay, I understand it. For me, I still would try to trade down possibly with like the Eagles or the Bengals. If Penei Sewell's on the board, I think the Bengals would be willing to come up. I don't see Atlanta going after Pitts. I see them going after a quarterback more likely. And you could take Pitts at 5 or 6, I believe. And then from there at 18, I'd be looking more firmly at Owusu-Kamara, Micah Parsons if he slides, Jalen Waddle if he slides. And then 36, if you trade down with the Eagles, you'd be picking back-to-back 36 and 37, in which case I would adore if Miami was able to grab a running back there and pair them with Richie Grant at safety. Richie's a guy that I want even more than I want Boogie Basham. He can do so many dominant things, and he's a much more athletic and really better version of Bobby McCain. And I think he could eventually be that Bobby McCain replacement, kick Bobby over to the nickel corner again to fight it out, or be the dime corner eventually as the year wears on. And then we would basically have in Brandon Jones and Richie Grant one heck of a safety tandem for the future. And guys, do me a favor, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. And one of the things that I've been asking folks, and I really appreciate what I've seen, is if you can go out to our iTunes page, leave us a review. It really helps us out there. Chris Hernandez, I have not been on the wide receiver train at 3 before all this. For me, it's Pitts or a trade down. Brett Dodger, Boogie Basham. Yes. So, guys, any other questions here real quick before I hop off? I just wanted to make sure to hop on and just talk briefly with you guys leading up to we're almost at our draft coverage. I'm so excited for it. Guys, this is going to be a fun one this year. And before you get too down, and this is something I know I talked about last night, before you get too down on what the Dolphins have done overall, even before Will Fuller, keep in mind, this was one of the youngest rosters in the league that has not reached their potential at the majority of their positions right now. And it's a young roster that went 10-6 last year. And Brian Flores was able to win with a glorified CFL roster a few years ago. So looking at that, I only expect, whether the win total matches it or not, for Miami to be a much improved team and continue to do so this season and beyond. This was always about a long-term plan, and they're ahead of schedule right now. It's no matter how slow it feels in free agency, we've won free agency in past years, and it didn't get us anywhere. Last year, we were a lot more active in free agency because everything was a hole. And then this year, because of how active Miami was in free agency in the draft last year, because of the way that they were able to go out and fill a lot of needs, they don't have that same need level that they've had in the past that we're used to from the past 20 years. It felt like every offseason we went in with a team that was chock full of holes, and we're not really losing anybody free agent wise this year that hurts. So I have to applaud Chris Greer, and that's not me schmoozing the guy. It's Chris Greer, Reggie McKenzie and company have done a beautiful job setting this team up for success. And I do expect that some of the news over the next few weeks is not only going to be, you know, those handful of guys that Miami grabs off the street. But really, it's going to be about re-signing and extending Gesicki, re-signing and extending Jerome Baker, and then making a couple roster decisions for next season so we don't run into that scenario where we're losing a lot of guys as we move forward, unless they don't want to be here. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it. Martina, that is a great question. A lot of folks are really down on the tackle spot because the offensive line had some struggles last year. That's with a mediocre center in Ted Karras, an okay left guard in Eric Flowers, and for the most part, three rookies. And only one of them was a first rounder, and it was somebody that was developmental. So I saw enough from the three rookies last year that I'm excited to watch them as they develop for the future. Now, if the right tackles were to slide to the right place, I'd be all in to go ahead and make a grab. I'm always there if you feel it's a true upgrade. But if things are flat, right? If you're using that categorized bracket for like the flat draft model, where you've got five or six players sitting there on a line, at that point in time, so long as it's close between them, that's the point you look at position of need over the rating a little bit, if it's close. So it could be a scenario where if there's a tackle available and he's easily the best of the bunch, you take him and try to upgrade and figure it out as you go along. Dude, Flores is cold-blooded. I will agree with you there. Hey, Chris, I'm glad to have you here, man. It's way do you see it with Kat and I live? It's we have a lot of fun and balance each other out really well. It's we've actually agreed, and this is just being real with you guys. Like, Kat and I wouldn't want to do the show overall other than onesie twosies or what have you without each other on here. It's, you know, Kat will do when we hit the regular season, he does a lot of one-off game previews with an opponent, somebody that covers whoever we're opposing that week. I have a tendency to get a little more into individual interviews with folks, like the one we had with Jamie Nails towards the end of the season, as an example. We've got a few of them lined up here as we in the coming months as we head up to the draft and beyond. I think next year we're going to get back to doing the prospect interviews that we used to do, that used to follow us out on the podcast before we started doing the videos. But yeah, man, we just have fun with it. It's I know we've turned on a few things with this. I know we've formed up that partnership. But again, it's something that just helps us continue to be able to do this and hop on here. This is something that we really enjoy, and we love all the feedback we've gotten. If there's stuff that you guys want to see, let us know. We'll hop on and figure it out if it makes any kind of sense for us. I really appreciate each and every one of you. If T.Y. Hilton is willing to take the right deal, Jalvone, I'm in. But again, at some point, signing these receivers, now that we've got Will Fuller in the fold, and because Fuller's salary is pretty well guaranteed this year, other than a handful of incentives, you have to start thinking about whether or not you can set those contracts up to be cap-friendly if you have to release the player. And that may sound crazy talking about T.Y. Hilton, but T.Y. is going to want to roll on the field. And would you start him over Will Fuller? No. But one thing that is possible is, given the fact that Will Fuller can be a reliable starter, he may be the option that lets you keep Preston Williams healthy. If you, like we've talked about a lot on here, if you draft Kyle Pitts, being able to play Gesicki out as a big slot, which is really his true role, you may be able to keep Preston Williams and Will Fuller healthy. These guys may be able to keep each other healthy by not being on the field as much. Just taking a quick look here. Oh, I missed the Khalil Mack to Washington bit. Really? Okay. Yeah, that's fake news. All right. God, that was like, wait, what? I am intrigued, though, at the way Chicago is building right now. I know they've got the Red Rocket under center, He's been told he's the starter. He's been paid like he's the starter. And the receiver position is getting intriguing because Allen Robinson is now buying back in because it looks like they may be the front runner in the Kenny Golladay sweepstakes. Outside of that, just one other little bit of news. The Jets got a little bit better tonight. They did sign Keelan Cole, by all reports, or they're basically in like final stages of negotiation. So we're going to need those corners going into that. I'm glad to see that X is still on the roster and there's been no hint or rumor of moving on from him. I'm just reading through the chat real quick before we get off here. Yeah, Carson at running back is boring. It is. And I think I did see somebody ask earlier if how I would rank the running backs. For me, I'm going to go with Najee would be my number one running back in the draft. Javonte would be my number two, and Travis Etienne would be my number three. But again, they are very close for me. I think Najee pulled ahead at the end there and a little bit after the season, and I know a lot of folks make it about the relationship with Tua. Dude, Tua can get along with anybody. I don't know if you've noticed that. Tua truly can get along with anybody. And if you can run the rock and catch it, he's going to love you. So I don't see there being an issue there. All right, folks, that is going to wrap it up for me for tonight. We will be back here, like I said, either tomorrow night or in our regular time slot Saturday morning, possibly both, to talk a little bit about the moves from this week, to get some perspective from both Kat and I as we move forward there. But thank you all. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys subscribe, make sure you guys comment on the video and follow us out there on iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify. God, and follow us out on social media at On the Fin Side or at Brian Cat NFL or myself at Fanatic underscore pick. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/On the Fin Side. And if you're feeling froggy and want to support the show a little bit, you can check out our merch store on thefinside.threadless.com. I know a couple of our listeners got a couple of coffee mugs recently that I really dug when they sent the pictures of it to us. So, Wilson, you didn't fully miss it yet. Don't worry. You have a good night, too. Have a good morning. What did I ignore, Tommy? Hold on. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I'm sad that I saw that. And actually, Tommy, it's funny. I thought of you earlier tonight. My fiance went out and was looking at Cameo, the thing where you can pay to have a celebrity say hi or some goofy thing. And she had me look at it with her. And for a yuck, I went and looked at the Dolphins. And wouldn't you know it, Jamal Perry Wiltz, whatever, is on Cameo as somebody you can get to record a video to say hello or whatever stupid thing it is that you pay somebody to do on there. And I immediately thought of you and said, you know what? I'm glad Tommy doesn't have any of my direct contact info because I'm pretty sure I'd get a welcome message from Jamal Perry if that was the case. So really, all right, I'm actually going. I did, Jad. I was actually on the live Zoom call for that. It was interesting. It was really interesting. So, all right, folks, you guys have a good night, and I appreciate all you hopping on here super late like you did. All right. Thanks, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the MasterForce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with MasterForce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with MasterForce power equipment at Menards.
Save